Andre Alela spends a lot of time in a minivan, driving from school to school. She's an advocate for children with disabilities, helping their parents figure out what services are available from the Department of Education and what the right classroom environment might be.
At Deems Avenue, you're going to make a right. We just passed Deems. Damn.
On this morning, Andrea and another parent, Bernadette Olk, are driving to a meeting for Bernadette's son, Evan, who's autistic. Andrea explains that Evan recently started seeing a tutor for instruction after school, paid for by the education department.
The child is producing far better at home with tutorial and in his outside services than he is in the school.
Andrea and Bernadette are going to meet with the team that writes Evan's IEP, his Individualized Education Program. To emphasize the importance of this document, the U.S. Department of Education calls it the cornerstone of a quality education for a child with disabilities. The IEP states individual goals and how to measure them. It lists the services the child must receive and when. The child's teacher and providers at the school write the IEP, but it must be approved by the parent. Andre and Bernadette head into the school psychologist's office to discuss the new after-school services that are on Evan's IEP and to set goals for the next year. I go with them, but turn off my recorder. There are six people from the school there, including Evan's teacher and his speech-language pathologist. Evan is in the third grade, and Bernadette wants him to repeat it because she doesn't think he's been making progress in the classroom. The school team pretty much agrees, but they've taken it a step further. They've written the IEP for the next year to show that Evan would be at the same point at the end of the year as the beginning, that he would make no progress. After the meeting, Bernadette and Andrea try to process what they heard.
I don't feel that they think he's capable of learning. I mean, that's tough to hear because you can see your child making progress. You know, and they're saying that he'll do little or no progress in a year's time.
There's such a low estimation of this particular child's abilities. For a parent sitting there in a meeting, I don't know how you weren't crying, Bernadette.
I was.
And this is the struggle, getting the IEP team, which includes the parent, to agree on expectations and what services a child needs.
We're all here to meet the needs of the student.
Shandel Katz is a school psychologist for the Department of Education in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. She says, like the parent, the school is also trying to think about what's best for the student, and the IEP meeting is supposed to be the time to have that open dialogue. But sometimes there are just disagreements.
Oftentimes parents and teachers and providers are coming to, you know, the table, they're coming to the meeting, and they have emotional ties to the situation.
Take Evan's after-school services. He's entitled to them if the IEP team agrees that he needs the outside help. The team didn't think so at first, so Andrea, as an advocate, filed a request for a hearing so that an impartial judge could decide. She says she's filed more than 60 hearing requests this school year for different parents.
I file the complaint, they write the plan, they don't follow it. I file a complaint in the plan, they write a new plan, they don't follow it. And we go in this stupid two-step circle for years.
Not all advocates say the process has to be this contentious. Sometimes it takes extra phone calls, or there's mediation as an alternative to hearings. Either way, Bernadette says, as a parent, it takes a certain expertise to negotiate the IEP.
I have one special needs child. I have three children in total. And it's a lot of work to know so much and try not to ignore the other kids.
Some parents and advocates worry that the process will only get harder next year. That's when most students with disabilities will attend school in the communities where they live, rather than go to schools that offer the services on their IEPs. It's part of the city's effort to reform special education by including more of these students in mainstream classrooms. And it means a steep learning curve for many schools as they absorb more special education students and negotiate IEPs with their parents for the first time. For WNYC, I'm Yasmin Khan.